All right, let's take our Bibles and look together in Jeremiah chapter 5 for our scripture reading. Jeremiah chapter 5. Here in this chapter, the Lord through Jeremiah points out the hypocrisy of the Jewish nation. Religious, but in their religiosity, they were hypocrites. And how the Lord purposed to take them into captivity for their idolatry. Oftentimes the Lord will chasten a nation based on those things that the nation desires and seeks. And so here was this Jewish nation that had been given the truth through the sacrifices and through the priesthood as a type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they made light of what God had given as that one way of worship, and they assimilated all other sorts of practices within their worship. And so the Lord, in essence, said, if you enjoy idolatry so much, how about spending 70 years in a foreign nation where there's nothing but idolatry? And so he brought in the Babylonians and took them away into captivity. So this is what Jeremiah is foretelling. There had already been 10 nations that have been taken away by the Assyrians a couple hundred years previous, and now these last two tribes of the south, Benjamin and Judah, the Lord would take them into captivity. And Jeremiah lived through this time. The Lord preserved him and took him back down to Egypt rather than to go into captivity. But he was raised up to announce this impending judgment. So we see that in this chapter. And the reason for that was their apostasy and their idolatry. It's a message of warning, even for us today. You read about the churches that are mentioned in Revelation, the warnings that were given them, lest the candlestick be removed, lest the gospel be removed. How precious is the gospel to us here gathered? I trust that the Lord has made Christ and his work precious to us, and that we would be kept looking to him and him alone. But here in verse 1 of Jeremiah 5, you see that none could be found who was looking to the Lord. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man. If there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I'll pardon it. This reminds us a little bit of Abraham beseeching God on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. He got down to 10. And finally the Lord took the desire away from him to ask for any more. Ultimately, it was Lot and his wife and two daughters, and his wife turned back. In the days of Noah, there were 8 that were preserved alive in that ark. The rest of the world perished. Again, we see that here. And often we may wonder, how many are there truly today in this world, in this city, where they seek the truth? It says there, and I will pardon it. It's talking about God being merciful. The elect's sake. He'll bless an entire company, I believe, many times for one of his elect. But he'll cause others to perish and to go away. And though they say the Lord liveth, that's the way it is today. Everybody's got the Lord on their lips. God be praised. Surely they swear falsely. In other words, they speak of a God they do not know. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Again, as in the New Testament here in the Old, the truth is upon his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the truth. Thou hast stricken them, but they are not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. That's how you can tell the difference between a mere profession and one who's true of the Lord's, because one who's the Lord's, when they're chastened, corrected, it brings forth fruit under repentance. Where you see a hardening, a bitterness because of the Lord's afflictions, that's an indication of deadness. Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they're foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. I will get me unto the great men, and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord. Who are the great men? Those would be God's elect. Those would be his preachers. And the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. We will not have this God to reign over us, what they were saying. Or as it says in Psalm 2, they spoke against and rose up against the Lord and his anointed, that is God and his anointed, which is Christ. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Every one that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me, and sworn by them that are no gods, when I had fed them to the full. They then committed adultery, and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. This is talking about false worship and spiritual adultery. The harlots' houses were those false places of worship which they had built up versus the one place where God had caused his name to be put, and that was in Jerusalem at that temple with those sacrifices, that priesthood, how it pictured his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But they went a-whoring. These harlots' houses are places of worship, even like today. Don't call them churches. They're places of worship where Christ is not honored. Oh, they, just like here, they'll say the Lord liveth, but they swear falsely. They'll use the name of Christ without even knowing who he is, what he accomplished for his people. They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? As far as God's concerned, you're either in Christ or his wrath abides upon you. And here's the warning to all those that play the hypocrite when it comes to this matter of worship before a holy God. There's only one way to be justified before him, and that's in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And every other way shall be punished. Go ye up upon her walls and destroy, but make not a full end. Take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's. This is talking about looking to ways to find peace and security other than in the Lord. And the nation of Israel at this time, they were looking for alliances with some of these other nations, thinking they would be protected. It says, for the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. Again, what was their sin but idolatry? Going another way in worship other than what God had revealed. They have belied the Lord and said, it is not he. Neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. And the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. We have the word today. It declares clearly who God is, who Christ is, his judgments, his salvation, and yet Men in their rebellion and ignorance will still deny that it is so and say they'll be okay. Evil shall not come upon us. Wherefore thus saith the Lord, verse 14. Notice, God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people would, and it shall devour it. People say, well, they don't understand how a loving God could send people to hell. Well, he loves his righteousness more than the creatures that he has created. He said, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this wood people. This people would, and it shall devour it. That wrath of God has not fallen on the Lord Jesus Christ on a sinner's behalf. It is nothing for God to put people in eternal condemnation for their sins. And it is eternal. That's the thing to consider here. It shall devour them. Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far, the house of Israel. This would be Babylon, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation. A nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say. Here's the part I was saying. You want to follow their ways, their idolatry? All right, I'll put you right there in their midst. Their quiver is an open sepulcher. They are all mighty men. And they shall eat up thine harvest and thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat. They shall eat up thy flocks and thine herds. They shall eat up thy vines and thy fig trees. They shall impoverish thy fenced cities wherein thou trustest with the sword. Notice the key there, wherein thou trustest. They were claiming all of this as their doing, the works of their hands. The Lord said, all right, let's see how well you can defend it. Nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end with you. There's God's grace and his remnant. Why did God not utterly wipe out these nations, particularly Judah? Well, that's where the seed of Christ was to come. That tribe. So it wasn't for their sake that he says, I will not make a full end of you, but it was for Christ's sake. And it's always that way. If any are spared, it's always for Christ's sake. It shall come to pass when ye shall say, wherefore doth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Isn't it amazing that the hardness of the heart always blames God? People think that they don't deserve such condemnation. So when they say, it shall come to pass when ye shall say, wherefore doth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then thou shalt answer them. Like as ye have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours. There's the equivalency. You like the way they worship? Give you a one-way ticket. Go dwell among them. Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people. And without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. That's an unconverted soul. They had the gospel and type and picture and prophecy and promise, and yet it meant nothing to them. You like people sitting here. They hear with ears, but don't hear. They see, but they don't see. That's a judgment. That's a condemnation. Fear ye not me, verse 22, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it? It will stand on the edge of the ocean. You feel safe. You're just watching those. Everybody likes the water coming in, going out, water coming in, going out. Think about the volume of water. What's restraining that water from just completely overtaking you and the land behind you? Well, it's the Lord. But what he's pointing out is if he ever takes his hand off it, he's saying, what restrains these nations all around you right now? It's his hand. But this people, verse 23, hath a revolting and a rebellious heart, and they are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season. Notice, in his season. All of creation is his. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. The predictability of planting, sowing, and harvest. Where does that come? But from the hand of the Lord. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that set his snares. They set a trap. They catch men. What's he talking about here? He's talking about false leaders. He's talking about false preachers and false prophets. This is where we're reading this in connection with what we're going to see about Absalom, where the scriptures say that he stole their hearts by his devious deeds. Here it's described as men laying wait. It's talking about preachers in our day. They don't seek men's good and God's glory. They lay wait. They set snares. They set a trap to catch men. They call it evangelism. Christ said that once they cross land and sea to make one proselyte, they become twice full of the child of God. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. It's talking about religious houses. All these places of worship they've set up, therefore they're become great and waxen rich. They're waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked by giving them a false sense of hope, false assurance. Overpass the deeds. They tell them to do certain things in order to have their sins forgiven, and yet it's not pointing them to the cross or the work of Christ. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge? Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful, that's not in a good sense. This would be in a sense of judgment, which causes a wonder. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. In other words, when God brings his judgment. But here it is in verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. I know some will argue and say, well, we can't help it if they're not preaching the truth. What does it say here? And my people love to have it so. Those that follow these pretenders and these false preachers are just as guilty as the ones preaching for them because they continue to support them. He says, what will ye do in the end thereof? Trust that it helps us see the seriousness of what we're about when we gather for worship. It's not like we're trying to be difficult. We just won't meet with other people that call themselves Christian. We're just stuck up. No. We're here because of one thing. The Lord has taught us by his grace and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can never compromise what he's taught us. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Father, thank you for your word. To consider that you could just have easily left any one of us to ourselves, be taken away with the way of the world, and the pursuits of this world and religion, false worship. I pray, dear Father, that you would instill in each of your own here, gathered, that fear of who you are, to know of your holiness and justice, wrath, and that it took the very death of your Son to put away the sin of your people. How great is that sin, that sinfulness, but oh, how great is that work of the Lord Jesus Christ. For any to ignore that, ignore the glory of your Son, and to follow after any other way, can do nothing but continue to build up wrath against the day of wrath. So I pray, Father, for eyes to look to Christ alone. Cause us, as we hear your word, to be strengthened in our inner man, and to cause us to run to Christ and to seek our refuge in him alone. I give you the thanks and praise and honor and glory in our dear Savior's name.